In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Luke tells us at the beginning of his Gospel that he researched these things. He interviewed the eyewitnesses. And in fact, the tradition of the Church tells us that he interviewed the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. And that is why he has the details of the Annunciation, and most especially, the Christmas story. The tradition further states that after having interviewed the Virgin Mary, St. Luke painted her picture. That's the image on the cover of the bulletin. St. Luke is the first iconographer of church history. And you can still see his painting in Poland today, and depending on who you talk to, it's either his hand-painted original, a copy of a copy, or the copy of the copy. The fact remains, St. Luke paints pictures. And what is the picture that he has painted even more stunning than that of the Mother of our Lord? He paints the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ as the preeminent sacrifice offered up for the sake of men. Those angels that Ezekiel describes in chapter 1, and then that St. John will describe in his Revelation, with the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of a bull, and the face of an eagle, very quickly became representative of the Gospels themselves. Matthew is the man presenting the humanity of our Lord. Mark is the lion, where Jesus is portrayed as the lion of the tribe of Judah, always on the prowl, ready to gather up his people, ready to confront his enemies of sin, death, and the devil. This is why Mark has that repeated adjective, immediately. And immediately Jesus did this, and immediately he did that. Luke, and it's odd, if you think about it, that Luke is written for the Gentile mission. He writes to the Gentiles, those who do not know the laws and rules and God of Israel, but who have been brought into the church from pagans. And yet his gospel is centered in and around the temple. It begins in the temple. Zechariah offering the sacrifice of incense in the holy place. He has our Lord teaching in the temple when just 12 years old. Jesus repeatedly is preaching and teaching in the temple through the course of Holy Week. And then after the ascension, the apostles return to the temple to praise and glorify God for all that he has done in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Luke, therefore, is the bull, the preeminent sacrificial victim. But Jesus is the sacrifice beyond compare. John, then, is the eagle, because he soars to theological heights. Luke paints the picture. Jesus is the sacrificial victim. Every moment of his life, every word that comes from his mouth, every touch that he extends to those in need, paints the picture of God who has come to bear in his own flesh all of our sins, all of our iniquities, all of our troubles. Considering even those things that are unique to Luke's Gospel, that we love so much about his Gospel. Right in the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel tells Mary that this child who will be born of her will be born by the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit overshadows her, and therefore will be called holy and the Son of God. And that he will sit on the throne of his father David. Of his kingdom there will be no end. But how is it that Jesus claims his kingdom? What does it mean that he is the Holy One and Son of God? Except that he goes to the altar of the cross and thereby lays down his life for us. Now this is a preeminent theme in John's Gospel, but the cross of Jesus, the crucifixion, is in fact the enthronement of the King of Israel. This is why Pilate puts this sign on the cross. And this is what it actually means. That this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. King not only of the Jews, but of the Gentiles. And of the whole creation. There he reveals the glory of God. There he is worshipped and adored by angels and by men. Consider the Christmas story. Why is it that he's wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid into the manger? Is it not because it is in token of the fact that he will be wrapped in grave cloths, laid in a borrowed tomb, but that he gives himself in his death and resurrection? Is it not the fact that he gives himself as food for the life of the world, that he gives himself as food for men? That we who have made ourselves beastly and inhuman through sin, he now lays himself gladly and willingly into the feeding trough, that we may feast. That we who have fallen into sin by eating what God had not given, may now, in fact, take and eat that which God has most indeed given for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins, and the guarantee and seal of our own resurrection. His own body and blood. Are we not that prodigal son when sin wishes our father dead and makes off with our inheritance only to squander and to waste it? Is it not our Father in heaven who, for the sake of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, constantly waits watches, yearning for the day when he will find us, and he will bring us back into the house, where he will not set us up as servants or slaves, but he will set us rightly as sons and daughters and heirs. Not because we've rehearsed a speech and we can impress him with the things that we have to say, but because we have indeed been painted in the blood of his dear Son. And it is for his Son's sake that he views us now through the veil of Jesus' shed blood. He views us through the curtain of his pierced flesh and is well pleased with us once more for Jesus' sake. Are we not that man, beaten, lying half dead on the road, cast out of paradise, beset by Satan and his demons, by sin and death? Is it not our Lord Jesus who comes as the good and kindly and needed Samaritan, who binds us up, who pours oil and wine into our wounds, who brings us into his holy Christian church, where he entrusts our care to his pastors and ministers, those whom he has called and sent out into his vineyards and into his harvest as his laborers, trusting for our care the law and the gospel, baptism and the Lord's Supper, Old and New Testaments, all of it, and everything that we need until he comes again in glory should be provided for us here in this place. Are we not that tax collector standing off to the side, not daring to look up to heaven, but beating upon our breast, God, be merciful to me, the sinner? And are we not then, for Christ's sake, sent down to our houses, justified and exalted in the sight of God? For Christ, our sacrifice, has covered us. He paints us in his blood. He paints us in his own righteousness. He makes us far better to be than we were prior to the fall. He doesn't just restore us to how we were meant to be before the fall, but he makes us to be better. He exalts us even higher. And it is because of his incarnation, because the Holy Spirit has overshadowed the Blessed Virgin, because God is born wrapped in our flesh, even the angels are given to serve us. And even though we have been created lower than them, Yet for the sake of Jesus, we are exalted even higher than they, so that they are given to our service to fight off the devil and his demons by holding before them the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the great once-for-all sacrifice has been offered, reminding them of the fact that they have lost the war, not just the battle, but they have lost the entire war, and that they have been defeated in the likeness of weakness. As Jesus bore our sins in his body even to the tree, to reconcile us to his Father. This is the picture Luke paints. And it's not just in his gospel, but it's even in the Acts. As that life and ministry of Jesus continues on, even after the ascension, now in his church, and through the ministry of his apostles. And indeed, those acts are continued now even to this day as the life and ministry of Jesus is continued and extended to you here in this place in baptism and absolution in the Holy Communion. You are not somehow different and distinct from those who have come before you in the faith. You are not somehow lacking or missing something because you were born now and not 2,000 years ago. The Lord Jesus continues to come to you in his word and in his sacraments. He continues to come to you and to speak the word of reconciliation. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Peace be with you, as he shows you his wounds in his hands, feet, and side. As he gives you that body to eat and that blood to drink. He says, your sins are put away as far as the east is from the west, and remembered no more. For I myself have painted you in my blood, and in my righteousness. And for my sake, the Father is well pleased with you once more. You are brought home. You are prodigals no more. You are tax collectors and sinners. No more. But you are the children, the heirs of the house, reconciled to God in the death and blood of his dear Son, who has come to bear all those sins and iniquities in his body, that you may be cleansed, that you may be free from all your burdens, and that you may join your voices with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. The eternal praise of the Lamb and his kingdom, which will have no end. It's a pretty picture. And it's a picture painted by Christ through his church for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.